You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey.
We are so happy to see your beautiful face, audience, because we've missed you. And
we did.
We miss being in your ear holes and in your homes, and we are glad to be back. But the thing is that two-thirds of us had a pretty awesome week last week when we were taking a bye from our podcast. Well, I had a nice weekend, but nowhere near to the amount that our ladies of TTJ did. And that's what we're going to talk about. And I am really excited because I know that you guys posted on Twitter, and you, especially Char, you posted pictures and what you were doing. I tried to avoid those as much as possible.
Just because
I wanted to keep myself... It was like I was trying to keep myself spoiler-free
weekend. Because I really then made... I cut out the work for you then, because not only was I posting on my account, I was also doubling for the Trek FM account.
Yes.
And posting like crazy as much as I could possibly stand, while also being in the moment and actually paying attention to the panels. Which is difficult, actually, come to admit it.
That is difficult. Yeah, especially, it's kind of like live tweeting a movie you've never seen before.
And you
but you still try to pay attention.
In the moment, you're just, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's just start off the bat. Lori and Char, whoever wants to chime in first. What time did you guys leave for Vegas, and what was one of the first things that you did when you got there, besides of course checking into your hotel?
I got to Vegas at like 9:15 in the morning, for all that, thanks to all that time change, saving all those hours. So I almost got there before I left my house, and I just was like amazed at the landscape. I've never seen the desert like that before. So I just stood around with my mouth open for a while. We flew over the Grand Canyon, so I was a total dork hanging out the window going, whoa, look at that. That's amazing. But there was really...
It is awesome.
It was really awesome. I kind of just wanted to sit in the casino in Vegas and just watch for people coming in. I wanted to be just a fangirl. But not much was going on when I got there. What about you, Char?
We got into Vegas Thursday, whereas you got in Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, so you had a whole day on me. We got in Thursday, and we got our rental car, went to the hotel, and there's this huge line of people waiting to check in. And that's when I met you there, Lori.
Yeah, that's right.
Gave you a big old hug, and then we decided, screw this. This line is going to take forever. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah.
And that's how we kicked off our Vegas.
Now, is that the first time that you guys have met in person?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. See, okay.
Yeah.
I am so utterly jealous. I'm jealous of the Star Trek stuff. But that is probably the most that I am jealous of, is that seeing everybody that you've met on Twitter in person.
It's for real. It was an amazing experience because you've talked to these people for 1-2 years, if not more.
Right.
And it's as if you really have known each other in real life all this time.
Right, exactly. That's what I spent Wednesday doing. I just kept meeting up with people that I knew on Twitter, and we'd go eat or go walk around. That was amazing. That was one of the best parts. It was so much fun.
It was kind of surreal, too. Just like, hey, wow, you are a real person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're not just an entity online, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lori and I, we obviously have chatted over video many times. I know what she looks like. I understand her demeanor. Nothing is a surprise there, but it's like, oh, hey, you're really here. I can actually hug you and say hi. And it is different. It's so cool.
It was. That was one of my favorite things about the whole trip.
So if you wanna name drop a little bit, like who were you really excited to see? And don't worry, people, if your name isn't mentioned, it doesn't mean that they weren't excited to see you. It's just because I am putting them on the spot and they're trying to rattle off some names.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's name drop. Okay, well, first off, we gotta mention Mike from Commentary Track Stars.
Yes.
He was there with his wife, got to meet him. That was totally cool. I met him in the vendor's room, and I almost didn't recognize him because I've not seen Mike in person. Well, I mean, you know, just even virtually, face-to-face. And I'm like, oh, it's you! And it was cool. And he thought I was a student because I had my backpack on with me, full of Trek FM flyers and business cards for everybody, because I brought those with me on the plane. And that's kind of how we advertised Trek FM at the Vegas, which actually was great. If you picked up one of those flyers, thank you, because I put them on tables everywhere, wherever I got permission, with the mission log guys or Trek Radio or even just the general interest table. By the time that the con was almost over, they were gone. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. But anyway, let's see. More names here. Rachel, whom we had breakfast with a couple times.
Yeah, I see that's she actually tried to FaceTime me late at night
and we were in a bar.
I am so pissed at myself. There were so many people that like were around for that conversation.
Oh,
and
man.
I feel like I missed out because I was so angry that it was like, because what it was is that it was on my iPad. It wasn't on my phone. And so I always shut that at night and turn it off. So
It was a shame. You would have really, you would have gotten a kick out of it. It was funny. It was partying night one for us all, basically.
Yeah.
We were at the Masquerade Bar. And I don't remember how you got involved in it. But then Rachel all of a sudden is saying, I'm going to FaceTime Tristan. I wish he was here. Because we were talking about that, I think, maybe how we wished you had been able to make it and join us, because it was so much fun. But someone had to hold down the fort and you got the shaft.
That's true. Somebody's got to hold down the fort. But what one thing like about that is, like, I, you know, I talk with Rachel all the time, and, you know, I know her by name, of course, but there and Matt, you know, like Matt and I call each other all the time. And but there's so many times that, like, when I eventually do get to make it to Vegas, that I am so scared that I'm going to go like, oh, hey, look, it's Sci-Fi Commons and Randomosities and Starfleet Bomb.
That's exactly what we did.
That's what
I'm not going to use anybody's first name. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Sci-Fi Commons, we did meet David.
We did. That's right.
We did.
Who See, like, I know all of their so names, people. But I just know that I'm going to just use their handles.
Yeah. It kind of just happens.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people knew me just with my Twitter handle, not necessarily my first name. Mary, oh gosh, I'm going to slaughter her name.
Sirwinski.
Thank you. Yes, that is her last name. And anyway, I met her and I introduced myself as, oh, the profanity to her. Because I knew she would know that rather than my actual name. It's like, yeah, hi, nice to meet you. La, 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 la. Did that with a few people, actually. So we did that. We met, well, of course, we met Matt Hansen from the Delta Quadrant podcast.
Right, yeah.
And whom we're all pretty good friends with.
Yes.
I also met another co-host of the Delta Quadrant, Ben. And so I met him, I think, on day three, something like that. It was very brief, and it was after a panel, but I did get to meet him. Let's see. Who else here? Lori, what have you got? Throw some out there.
I met Starfleet Mom. Let's see. You mentioned Dave. William McCauley, who's like Mr. Willy on Twitter.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So what were some of the craziest or most interesting things that you saw? Like, not just costumes, but, you know, including costumes, but also, you know, with the people who showed up there, like the type of people, or what kind of situations that you saw that were very, very, that you found interesting or something that was unique that you wouldn't necessarily think that you would have seen at Vegas?
That's a really good question.
That is a good question. Something I thought was really interesting, and it has to do with celebrities. Those people probably, some of them could have walked around, and we would have been the only ones who would have known who they were. So I think they kind of liked that. But like getting on the elevator with the guy who played Rom from DS9, just like, oh my god, everybody else in the elevator is going, please push forward. That was kind of cool.
Were the other people in the elevator not Star Trek fans?
Some of them weren't. Some of them were just there. But I'm like hyperventilating in the corner, and all of them are just like, how much did you win today? Oh, I went, okay.
I'm always so surprised to think that with a convention that big, that you would not be aware that a Star Trek convention is going on, and why would you stay at that hotel? Especially like you get into an elevator with Max Grodinchek and is Star Trek royalty. It's just, yeah, that's just surprising to me. Yeah.
I actually had an opposite kind of experience where I got on the elevator with Armin Shimmerman, and there was one other person in the elevator, and it was a Star Trek fan. She had her little lanyard on with her pass and everything. And you know, she's just kind of la 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 at first. And I was actually talking with him, just chatting it up. I don't know what I was even saying. And she turns around after she hears his voice and she's like, oh, I am such a big fan of yours. Oh my God. And then she gushes to him for the rest of the ride. And my floor comes up. And I'm like, nice to see you, sir. And I walk off.
Poor man.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. We had a few of those encounters. Like, you got to ride the elevator with Alice Eve, right?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and we got to ride in the elevator drunk with Robert Picardo.
Like you do.
And I tried to get him to come to Larry Nemechek's party, but it didn't happen, so.
I'm sure he gets a lot of party invitations that weekend.
I'm sure he did, but I had to try. I mean, come on, he was right there.
He was. It was many times.
Armin Shimmerman is the only Star Trek celebrity that I've had the chance to meet, and so that's pretty cool that you guys got to meet so many people. But we'll get to the Star Trek people. Like other than that, like what did you see? Like from the fan perspective, you know, like other fans, what did you see that that was pretty interesting that you might not think to encounter for people who haven't been to a con?
Aside from the costumes, because there was a wide range of costumes, just for the record. Some really incredibly creative stuff. Okay, this is a difficult question. Give me a moment, please.
Well, okay, how about this? Like, Char, you can think about it. And Lori, what was one of the craziest costumes you saw while you were there?
Craziest costumes. There was a lady, and I don't know who she was, but she was dressed at something different every single day. One day she was Kai Wynn. Another day, she was like an Orion slave girl. Another day, she was an Andorian. It was the same lady over and over and over. And I thought, what did you bring with you? Like a trunk of costumes? How in the world? Yeah, I was impressed.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I've never heard of that before. I mean, I am I've only been to one Star Trek convention. So like, this is probably my ignorance. But yeah, no, I've never... I always thought you're like, no, you pick a character for the weekend and that's what you are.
That's some serious packing. I imagine that person drove rather than flew, because there's no way I could crunch all of that into my suitcase, along with real clothes.
If you guys are listening and you do that, like if you go to a convention for multiple days and take multiple outfits, please let us know if you do that or know of other people who do that and what characters you've been.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to know. So, okay, I have an answer to your question now. I would say one of the most, it wasn't absurd, but I just thought, yep, this is a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas. I mean, you see people in full Klingon cosplay makeup sitting at the slot machine and just...
Nice.
You know, pumping in the quarters, the dimes, whatever it is, you know, and doing that. I also saw a Ferengi, I think, maybe playing roulette. So, I mean, it was one of those things. The other thing I can think of is... when my husband and I sat down one night to eat dinner, Joel Grey was just like a mere 15 feet away from us ordering a burger. Joel Grey had one part in Star Trek. He was in the Voyager episode Resistance. He plays...
Oh, that's right.
Kalem, is that his name?
Yeah,
you know, I seem to have lost my hat.
Yeah, the guy who thought that Janeway was his daughter.
Yes, that episode. And of course, he's very... big on Broadway shows. He's a very huge theater guy, and so he's probably better known for that, but he had that one role on Star Trek, and this was his very first Star Trek convention. And so I was watching him watch everybody else. He was kind of looking around like, gosh, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
It was really cute. And I caught him in the hallway one time. And I just said, hey, Mr. Gray, I'm so glad you came to the convention. It was really awesome. This was after his panel. And I said, I really enjoyed it. And he said, oh, yeah, thank you. And then he went into the vendor's room. And that might have been when he bought his costume, because he came up later for another panel with William Shatner and Kate Mulgrew in a captain's uniform TOS style. I'm not saying it happened. I'm just thinking.
No, I did hear about that. Yeah, that definitely made some news. I remember hearing that he surprised everyone by showing up in
costume.
He
really did.
And I love that someone who can be not a bit role, but like just in one episode of the entire 700 and whatever hours of Star Trek can come in and everybody knows who he is and then just go, oh my God, it's that guy. You know, like,
yeah, well, it was super cute. And apparently he and William Shatner and Kate Mulgrew, they're all friends. And so they knew each other, and he came in for their panel and had a dandy old time. Yeah, it was great.
Let's go ahead and move into the celebrity tidbits. Let's move into, you know, people you got to either have conversations with or some of your favorite moments from the panels. Like, what kind of moment will you remember or take away from what Kate Mulgrew said or what Shatner said or something like that? Like, what are some of those moments that kind of stick out in your mind? Lori, do you have an answer for that?
I was just so overwhelmed by the situation at first to think that they were just right there. The people that I'd watched on TV for so long were right there. I could just see them and with my own eyes. So I was sort of starstruck at first. But it was nice to hear them joke around about the things they had done on Star Trek and to act like, just to hear them say things like the Voyager panel when it was just all the guys, when it was Ethan Phillips and Garrett Wong and Tim Russ and Bob Picardo. And it was nice to hear them talk about all the fun that they had making the show. That really stuck with me. All the that they're still friends now. They still get together. They still see each other. And just how much they enjoyed their time. That really stuck with me.
That's nice. I love stories like that. And I think most fans do. And I mean, I feel like they've been to enough cons where they know that's always a crowd pleaser, you know, mm-hmm. Knowing that kind of stuff, for some reason, it just makes it richer mm-hmm. when you watch it on the screen, knowing that they get along behind the scenes. And I can't describe it. I'm sure there's tons of doctoral papers on it, but I am one of those people who absolutely loves that. Char, what about you?
I would say a couple of my favorite moments interacting with the celebrities was getting Gates McFadden's autograph and talking to her about 1/8. Do you know about this?
Yes. But for those who don't, please, Char, tell us about it.
Yeah, okay. If you're not on Twitter or Tumblr, you need to check this out because it's an absolute hoot. She has a 9-inch, you know, Beverly Crusher doll that she enacts like little photo story scenes with. And 1/8 has been going crazy lately. Everything from gambling in Vegas to taking her clothes off to, as of today, a cat fight, literally, with a cat. It's getting crazy. And there's also an interview on StarTrek.com with 1/8. And it's all to kind of raise awareness for her nonprofit theater organization, which is what she's doing now. And it's so much fun. So I talked to her about that, like, well, you know, taking her clothes off. She's getting a little crazy. I'm a little worried about her. And Gates basically just said, yeah, you know, she's got a mind of her own at this point, and I can't control anything she does, you know. And she's having a lot of fun with it. That was a very cool, memorable conversation. I should have asked for Monet's autograph, but I forgot at the time. The other cool thing was meeting Garrett Wong, who played Ensign Kim, of course, got his autograph, had a moment to just chat with him for a little bit. And he actually remembered me from Twitter, which was kind of cool. And we talked about Twitter. I just told him, hey, it's awesome that you're posting regularly. Please, by all means, keep doing so. It's fun talking with you. And so that was very cool. And then eventually I've got a little surprise for everybody, which mm-hmm. will show up on Trek FM very soon.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Garrett Wong, I mean, I've even gotten a response from Garrett Wong. That's really nice. That's cool. Like, he mm-hmm. seems like a like a cool cat, as the kids say.
He really is. In person, he is a very fun, just interesting guy, life of the party, if you will. I mean, if you look around in the crowd, there he is, and you just know, oh, hey, that's Gara Wong. And he's just full of energy and life, so much fun. I mean, he's the kind of person I would definitely want to go out to drinks with later in the day to wind down, because it would just be great.
Now, did he have his short hair or long hair?
Short hair. It's still short. He's cutting it still. I think he's finishing up that part that he had to cut it for. So he's had to maintain it for a while.
Now, for those of you at home who want to follow the adventures of Beverly, 1/8 Beverly, you can go to ensemblestudiotheaterla.tumblr.com, and there you can find the blog, and you can watch 1/8 Crusher take her clothes off.
Well, almost. She keeps on the jacket.
Okay, so we've covered when you got there, meeting some Twitter friends, meeting some fans, some interesting fans, and also some celebrities. What was a piece of trivia that you found out in Las Vegas that you didn't actually know before, if any? I mean, sometimes, I mean, whenever I talk with a new Star Trek fan or go to a book signing or something like that, there's something I find out about behind the scenes that I never knew before. And that's one thing that I love about Star Trek, is that you can constantly, you know, research it and watch it, and then just out of the blue, bam, you're like, whoa, I never knew that before. Shar, you look like you have an answer.
I have one, and this is all a matter of perspective, I'm sure, but Terry Farrell, who played Jadzia Dax, blames Rick Berman for getting her character killed off. Apparently there was miscommunication about whether she would continue in her role or not, because there was contract disputes, blah, blah, blah. And she, in her panel, was very adamant about making sure we all knew that it was Rick Berman's fault that she was no longer on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Because if all of you need to listen to the Delta Quadrant interview with Terry Farrell, it was very good, done by Matt Hansen, who was a very good interviewer. And she was like, there was a couple of things I was a little confused about just from her answers. Maybe this was just me being slow, but I felt like she said that, okay, she was thinking about leaving the show, and then there was a contract dispute, and then she said that people came to her and asked her if she was going to stay on the show, but she said it was too little, too late, and that she already made her decision, and if they really wanted her to stay, they would have had that conversation much earlier. Is that kind of what she was saying, or
sort
am I right about that? Or
it sounded a little bit like she and Iris Stephen Bear really wanted to work something out to where Jadzia did not get killed off, and she did ultimately want to stay on the show, it sounded like. But then it's like Rick Berman had already made his decision, it was in the can, and this is what we're going with, come hell or high water, too bad. So,
that's so weird. Yeah, that's...
I don't know, man. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I always thought that it was, okay, why would I stay for one more season when I could get potentially more than one season on a sitcom? So...
Yeah. I don't know. That's just the way it all worked out, I guess. So the other cool thing that I learned from Jeri Ryan at her panel, and this is related to Voyager, of course, is that... Ethan Phillips never once complained about his makeup, ever.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. She was talking about the makeup she had to do for the very Borgified 7 of 9 in the very beginning. And it was a good 5 hours in the morning. And she was very honest about it and said, it sucked. I hated it. You know, it's a lot of time, a lot of work for just one day, every day to do that. And so she was relieved when she didn't have to do quite such an extensive job for 7 of 9, because that was a long haul. But Ethan Phillips had it way worse, and she said that he never once complained about the makeup. She said the guy was a saint.
That's amazing. I mean, from what I've heard from other people who have known Ethan Phillips, like, everybody has nothing but amazing things to say about him and, like, his work ethic and... just, you know, going in, working, knowing your lines, being Johnny on the spot, and just being an incredibly professional but also warm at the same time. Armin Shimmerman said just after a couple of hours, you know, you started getting massive headaches from just that entire headpiece that's on your forehead and around your ears and everything like that.
Wow.
And you work, you know, like 12, 13-hour days.
Easy.
and just and you get headaches within a couple of hours. Can you imagine how hard it must be to work like that?
Doing that all day, every day. That sounds crazy. Like it would be pure hell, and you would have to be an incredible professional to not just go insane. You know what I mean? And just have outbursts on the set and stuff like that. But these are real pros. They obviously love what they do.
Yes.
To put up with it for as long as they did, 7 years and all of that work and pain and suffering, basically. I admire them for that because I do not know if I could handle it. I'll just admit that straight up.
I don't know if I could. Lori, can you think of anything?
I did remember there was a guy who was in line at Jeri Ryan's panel to ask her a question, and he whips out a 7 of 9 costume that he said he had bought on eBay, and he wanted to make sure that it was actually her costume because there was a guy that I was sitting by in a panel that said he bought those for a living, and sometimes a piece would have the character's or the actor's name in them, but actually it would be their double who had worn it, like their stunt double or whatever. So anyway, he asked her if that was her costume, and she took it from him, and she looked at it and said, well, this looks like the sewing of the seamstress who made all my clothes, and this probably is her writing, so this is authentic. So later on, I was in line to get her autograph, and the guy was right there, and he whipped the costume out, and she autographed it for him. But that thing looked like a leotard. It was like the brown...
It was the brown one.
Oh my gosh, it was like for a child size.
Granted, she is tiny.
I mean, yeah, she is tiny, but it was probably like, it was probably the size, a child size, just so it would be so freakishly tight on her.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and then could you imagine the corset on it as well? Oh,
yes.
Poor Jeri Ryan. I mean, if we're talking about the makeup and all that, all the crap that she had to go through wearing those incredibly tight body suits.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch, 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 ouch.
What is one of the moments that you will always have with you now that you're back home and back in reality? Some people say that you have a lot of people go through convention depression, like after it's over, you know, you're back into the daily grind. Yeah, like I've heard a lot of people talk about it, how this is just, this is heaven to us because we're surrounded by Star Trek, we're surrounded by our online friends, and then it's just gone. So what are some of the things that you're going to miss most?
I mean, aside from meeting so many incredible people and hanging out with, like, you know, just regular people that I didn't know before on Twitter, like Stephanie and Rachel and David and good God, we could list them all. And of course, the panels were great, but the capstone moment for me was photo opping with Kate Mulgrew, because for 20 seconds, if that, of pure bliss, I got to shake her hand and tell her how much she has meant to me through my life. And that really did mean something. I mean, I know a lot of people say that, but I mean, seriously, behind my mother, the other influence on my life on how to just be a strong person was Kate Mulgrew, simply by the way that she has lived her life and how she carries herself. That influenced me a lot. So I told her that much. I told her how much I loved her and admired her, blah, 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 blah. And that was a capstone moment. And I have the photo now for kind of the proof of that moment of exhilaration.
And forever.
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 Lori, how about you?
I think my favorite moment would be not really a moment, but like a conglomeration of moments would be meeting all the people I've talked to on Twitter for so long, just to meet them face to face and get to talk to them and, you know, see them as a real human being, like you said, and then to experience all the panels and all the celebrities. And I got my picture made with Kate Mulgrew, too, and that was really cool. But I think meeting the people really meant a lot to me. And if I were to do that again, that would be my reason. It really was. It's really a good experience to meet the people that you talk to about Trek and be able to share with them face to face.
That's amazing. And that's what I'm most jealous of. A lot of people, like a lot of non-Star Trek fans, like will interview people who are at the cons and then say like, oh, so, you know, this must blow your mind, like seeing all of these celebrities and seeing all these, you know, actors from Star Trek. Well, they say, yeah, it does, but that's not the reason why we're here. The reason why we're here is for each other. for other Star Trek fans, people we've met online, communities that we're a part of, even though we've never been close to each other physically. And
right.
I think you guys have definitely explained that and personified it. So, well, I think you guys had a great weekend, and I thank you very much for letting me live vicariously through it, and also our listeners.
Oh, absolutely. It was quite an experience. It really was. I recommend to anybody, if you're considering going next year, definitely do it. It was so worth it.
Before we go, we got 2 5-star reviews while we were on a buy from podcasting while you guys were in Vegas. So many thanks to ManRequex 3000, who loves us, even if Voyager wasn't her first love. But that's okay. It doesn't have to be your first love as long as you're loving it now. And ZWho24, who said in their review, you cannot call yourself a Voyager fan unless you religiously listen to this podcast. And we here could not agree more.
Darn right. We love it.
So if you do know some Voyager fans who aren't listening to us, maybe you should help them out and introduce us. So, and if you have some nice things to say and give us a 5-star review, please do so by going to iTunes and finding us, and we will give you a shout out on the podcast, just like we did for ManDraQuex 3000 and ZWho24. And also, please, please, please visit our sponsor at trekfan.org, and also visit the forums at trek.fm/forums, and we can discuss things about the show. You can also find us on Twitter. Well, I think that was a great show, and I am extremely excited for what we're going to talk about next week. We are going to do a character analysis of Kes, the 2-year-old Okampan, who hitched a ride on the USS Voyager. We're running out of character analysis. We're going to have to go to side characters and guest stars and things like that. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!